Liga, aber Donald, Alter, ist gut laut.
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what's up or down. Black or white.
Legal.
Or
impeachable.
Everything is make-believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into...
Trump.
Jared Kushner didn't suggest Russian communications channel in meeting, source says.
Be Heil. Heil. Right.
Donald Trump.
Space not to love.
Donald Trump.
He's a great disgrace, so be Heil. Heil. Right.
Donald Trump.
Space.
Donald Trump
says.
Whenever you see the word sources say in the fake news media and they don't mention names, it is very possible that those sources don't exist but are made up by fake news writers. Fake news is the enemy.
Heil! Heil! Riding.
Donald Trump.
Face in her.
Donald Trump.
Says.
Fake news. Fake news. Isn't it true that that problem that generally people have at a level that's almost underneath their consciousness of the fact that mainstream media at this point is a scandal-to-scandal breaking news collage has created a problem in which real stories get covered up by this type of scandal. And then I can come in, label it fake news, and rob us of a real dialogue about the responsibilities of the Fourth Estate.
Be Heil! Heil!
Donald Trump.
Face. Are we not the Superman? Are you pure Superman?
Yeah, we are the Superman.
Super duper Superman.
Is this Nazi land so good? Would you leave it if you could?
Yeah, this Nazi land is good. We would leave it if we could.
We bring the world new order.
Donald Trump.
World new order. Everyone a foreign race. We love
Donald Trump.
Space when we bring to the world disorder. When
Donald Trump
says.
Despite the constant negative press, Kov Fefe.
Be Heil. Heil!
Donald Trump.
Space not to love.
Donald Trump.
He's a great disgrace, so be Heil. Heil! Heil!
Donald Trump.
Space.
Donald Trump
says,
I'm the president, can you believe it?
Heil! Heil! Riding.
Donald Trump.
Space not to love.
Donald Trump.
He's a great disgrace, so be Heil! Heil! Riding.
Donald Trump.
Space!
Ladies and gentlemen, please join the United States Air Force Band in singing our national anthem.
Oh. Bonds.
bursting in air, gave pro through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave?
Please be seated.
So, Mr. Comey, sir, I thought if you came back for one last meeting, we could straighten things out. Please, sit down.
I am sitting, Mr. Trump.
Well, then kneel down. I want to talk to Jim alone.
Huh? Yeah, sure, Mr. President. Oh, I wish I was in the land of cotton.
Look, I want a do-over. I have no tapes. Let's make a deal. You hand over all your notes, and I'll erase the tapes. I mean, there are no tapes! No tapes! What is it? Why are the walls moving in on me?
They say sometimes a ghost haunts this room.
Lincoln?
Close.
Richard Nixon!
I came to thank you, Donald. I'm moving up. Thanks to you, I'm now the 44th best president. I just have one piece of advice. If you have tapes, burn them!
There are no tapes! Help me, Jim. I haven't touched Melania in 3 months. Give me a damn hug. Come on, let's be pals. Give me some advice.
Start hanging out with people who are more honest than you.
Great idea. Get over here, Dick.
My first hug. I like it.
Breaking news, the Washington Post reporting at this hour that President Trump asked two of the nation's top intelligence officials to help him push back against an FBI investigation into possible coordination between his campaign and Russia.
What? Absolutely no coordination. My campaign was completely uncoordinated. One day, Steve Bannon brought 50 donuts to the office, and I also brought 50 donuts. We had such a great laugh. Then Steve read from the protocols of the Elders of Zion, and we ate 100 donuts. There's got to be something good about me and all I've accomplished on this trip.
Let's start with Jared Kushner. He is the senior White House advisor. He met with Russian Ambassador Sergei Kislyak and Russian banker Sergei Gorkov during the campaign. He's under scrutiny in the Russia probe. Now let's move it to Jeff Sessions. He's the attorney general. He spoke with Sergei Kislyak, also the Russian ambassador to the United States during the campaign. Didn't disclose that when asked during his confirmation hearings. He recused himself from the Russia investigation under pressure from a lot of people to do it. Michael Flynn, no longer with the administration, the former national security advisor. He dined with Vladimir Putin in December of 2015, also spoke to Sergei Kislyak. You're going to see that name coming up a lot after President Obama sanctioned him. Paul Manafort, a former Trump campaign manager, he's had a long history of business with Putin affiliates, including Russian oligarchs and pro-Putin politicians and pro-Russians in the Ukraine. Carter Page was a Trump campaign aide, although nobody seems to give a straight answer on what his relationship was to the campaign. He met with Sergei Kislyak during the Republican National Convention, also something he didn't admit until much later. He also has a long history of investing in the Russian energy sector. And Donald Trump Jr., the president's oldest son, he helps manage the Trump Organization. He had said in 2008 that Russians make up a pretty disproportionate cross-section of a lot of our assets. He also met with Russian bankers with ties to Putin at this year's NRA convention. And we have the Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson. He worked closely with Russian oil companies as president of ExxonMobil. They actually had a deal to start drilling for oil in the north. That was canceled because of sanctions. And he did testify before Congress that he thought that these sanctions were unnecessary. He was awarded the Order of Friendship from Vladimir Putin in 2013. Wilbur Ross is the United States Commerce Secretary. He was appointed by President Clinton to encourage business in Russia following the Cold War. He holds a stake in the Bank of Cyprus, which has very specific ties to Russian investors.
And the top Democrat on the House Oversight Committee now says Michael Flynn lied to investigators who vetted him for his 2016 security clearance renewal.
Michael Flynn saying he's going to comply. They asked for the subpoenas demanded documents. He's going to be supplying some or all of those documents.
Another former Trump aide, Boris Epstein, has received an information request from the House committee and has yet to decide whether to comply.
I've just been handed this. The Washington Post said, posting a story with the headline, Russian ambassador told Moscow that Kushner wanted secret communications channel with Kremlin. The idea here that Kushner, Russia's ambassador to Washington, discussing the possibility of setting up a secret and secure communications channel between the Trump transition team and the Kremlin using Russian diplomatic facilities in an apparent move to shield their pre-inauguration discussions from monitoring, according to U.S. officials briefed on intelligence reports.
The response to the Kushner story was not, no, of course, that's preposterous. It was, no, it was to bring peace to Syria.
During the meeting, the Russians broached the idea of using a secure line between the Trump administration and Russia, not Kushner. A source familiar with the matter told Fox News.
And, you know, there's so many rumors about this floating around, and we have to be very careful that some of this may, in fact, be coming from, I believe, maybe even coming from the Russians.
We turn now to Michael McFaul, the former ambassador to Russia. On a scale of always to never, where does this proposal fit into your experience in U.S. diplomacy with Russia?
Never. I've never heard of anybody asking to come to our embassy from Russia to communicate with people back here in the United States or vice versa. And this whole idea of a back channel when you're about to move into the White House, for goodness sakes, you do a direct channel. You don't need a back channel.
Why did they need a back channel? Why did they want to evade American intelligence operations and the setup that America has to communicate with Russia? There must be a reason that they're hiding.
All this while Russia was being accused very publicly by the U.S. government and others of having waged an unprecedented campaign of sabotage to disrupt the presidential election. Remarkably, the White House has not denied these latest reports. Instead, administration officials have defended Kushner's alleged conduct as perfectly appropriate.
So generally speaking, about back-channel communications, what that allows you to do is to communicate in a discreet manner. So it doesn't predispose you toward any sort of content of that conversation or anything. So, no, I would not be concerned about it.
It's both normal, in my opinion, and acceptable. There's any way that you can communicate with people, particularly organizations that are maybe not particularly friendly to us, is a good thing.
I'm not going to get into what the president did or did not discuss, but what your question assumes is a lot of facts that are not substantiated by anything but anonymous sources that are so far being leaked out. You're asking if he approves of an action that is not a confirmed action. I'm not going to get into it, but your question presupposes facts that have not been confirmed. I think what I just said speaks for itself. So again, I'm not going to get into confirming stuff. There's an ongoing investigation.
The president tweeted out an article from Fox News that relied on an anonymous source that said that Kushner wasn't the one who suggested the back channel. It was the Russians who wanted the back channel, and it was to talk about Syria. But the Washington Post article had relied on anonymous sources, and those were the anonymous sources that Sean Spicer was slamming and saying they're completely unreliable.
The meeting happened, which everyone now says happened, and it was of this level of significance. It is hard to believe that Jared Kushner forgot about it when he filled out that form under penalty of perjury.
If I had, in applying for the Pentagon job that I had, not disclosed all my conversations, I would not have gotten my job, and I would have lost my security clearance.
There's thousands of people who are out there who are on duty right now watching this, who have top secret SCI, special access program clearance, knowing that in one instance, even a fraction of this would lose their clearances, will have to ask themselves the question that they would ask in any counterintelligence environment, and that is simply this: why? What is the motivational device that Jared Kushner, should this story be true, because we don't know if it's entirely true, we don't even know what the source of this was. The Russians themselves could have leaked this story in order to create chaos. But why would he want to hide, covert his communications from the U.S. government, believing that he would want to be able to use a facility, obviously, that would have more secure communications to create a back channel that U.S. cryptologic collection couldn't get? That right there there alone is covert communications. That is indicative of espionage activity of an American citizen that is working in league with a hostile government. And right now, there is no FBI counterintelligence officer in the world right now that does not believe that, if this story is true.
If Jared Kushner called, and I'm a Russian intelligence officer, calls me up and says, you know, the future, the son-in-law of the future president of the United States wants to have a meeting with you, of course I'm going to consider this from a Russian intelligence perspective, how I can take advantage of it. And from just from that alone, just to put yourself in a room like that is just wildly, I want to say at a minimum, naive. But my goodness, it seems like these people were reaching out, and I have to believe the Russians were going to absolutely take advantage of that.
Frequently, individuals who go along that treasonous path do not even realize they're along that path until it gets to be a bit too late.
When I look at you, I have to conclude that either you have been duped yourself or else you are trying to dupe me.
We've been duped!
Duped!
Bamboozled!
We've been speckledorfed!
That's not even a word, and I agree with you!
If Sergey Kislyak is conveying that Jared Kushner wants to have a back channel, the Russians obviously know that their communications are being monitored. Would they have it in their interest to say something? And I know we're getting into spy novel territory in here, but would they have it in their interest to say something about that, to make a claim like that, even if it wasn't necessarily true?
If you're on the Russian side, if you can play the other side, you will.
Yeah.
And the more confusion you're throwing into the picture, the better. This is part of the Russian game, and hasn't changed since the Soviet Union. Disinformation, we now call it fake news, but the Soviets were the originators of this kind of stuff. And you know, as we know, that the Russian state is fundamentally a successor to the Soviet Union in many aspects other than the ideology.
If you have Russians who know that they're on an insecure level of communications and they reveal highly confidential information in that, you have to assume that they want you to know that. And the question is, why do they want
exactly.
you to know it? Why would they want Jared Kushner to know that? Maybe as a form of leverage for something that they have that's even more in-depth. The point is, Jared Kushner's request to use secure Russian cryptographic systems in a secure Russian facility that is operated by the FSB, by the way, the ex-KGB, that means that he has something to hide, and what he wanted to hide it from was U.S. intelligence. And that is beyond suspicious at this point. Anyone else in the United States would have been at least detained, brought in, polygraphed, and quite possibly arrested for espionage.
What did Trump know? Are we to really buy that both in the case of Flynn and now Kushner, there were these high-level discussions going on with the Russians, including a Russian banker who was under sanctions, and that the president knew nothing about it?
If the president thought that he was going to make the Russian thing go away by firing James Comey, he'll find that he's going to get exactly the opposite effect.
I think reports that there's going to be an overhaul of the communications operation are fake news.
I know. So now you want to come back to that. What I'm telling you is that the reason that the president is frustrated is because there's a perpetuation of false narratives, a use of unnamed sources over and over again about things that are happening that don't ultimately happen. And I think that is troubling. Thank you guys very much. I appreciate it.
Trainwreck is the term that one unnamed administration official gave to the idea of former campaign manager Corey Lewandowski and former deputy Trump campaign manager David Bossie possibly coming to work in the White House. One unnamed source said it would only add to the toxicity of the White House. Another said, "I gagged."
All right, we have on the bottom of the screen that Mike Dubke is out as the White House Communications Director. Can you confirm that, yes or no?
So what I will say is that he has expressed his desire to leave the White House.
Well, I've seen reports that indicate that three or four people have been asked to succeed Mr. Dubke, and each of them have turned it down. Their biggest problems are not actually communications problems. Their biggest problems are actually substantive problems
that relate to whether or not the President of the United States and his team are being honest about their interactions and relationship to senior officials in Russia.
Yeah, I mean, this problem goes to the top. Mike Dubke is not the problem. And even if they bring in David Bossie or Corey Lewandowski, you know, it's going to fall on this president whether or not he can sort of clean up his messaging and stop just sort of, you know, throwing out falsehoods on Twitter, whether they're about Russia or anything else. Because even if they are not going to undercut or hurt him in terms of the ongoing investigation related to Russia, they continue to just eat away at what little credibility this White House has left. Everyone in there is basically talking to the media. The principals all have their own staffs. They all have their own chief of staff, their own communications person. And it seems to me like most of them spend more than the time that they probably should talking to reporters, talking to the press, on the record, more often than not on the record.
We could be seeing more staff shakeups at the White House soon. Reports are swirling around White House Chief of Staff Reince Priebus that he may be the next to go.
President Trump's longtime private attorney, Michael Cohen, has been asked for information as part of a congressional probe into possible Trump campaign ties to Russia.
Michael Cohen knows a lot about the long history of financial ties between the Trump world and Russia.
He's sent us a text just in the last hour that says, "I declined the invitation to participate as the request was poorly phrased, overly broad, and not capable of being answered."
Michael Cohen told the Daily Beast that legally, quote, "you cannot rape your spouse." Then when Trump's feud with then Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly led to death threats, Michael Cohen reportedly brushed them off.
Michael Cohen, who is Trump's top lawyer and an executive vice president with the Trump Organization, had retweeted, "let's gut her," about me, at a time when the threat level was very high, which he knew. And Bill Shine, an executive vice president at Fox, called him up to say, "you got to stop this. Like, we understand you're angry, but this is, you know, she's got three little kids. She's walking around New York, really." And he didn't much care. And what Bill Shine said to Michael Cohen was, "let me put it to you in terms you can understand. If Megyn Kelly gets killed, it's not going to help your candidate."
The first son-in-law, Jared Kushner, now himself the subject of scrutiny in the Russia investigation.
Kushner talked about setting up a secret communications channel with the Kremlin.
The White House doesn't know, not all the officials, certainly not the communications staff, don't know all the details about what Jared Kushner was doing.
I think the Russians are laughing. I think that's right. But they're laughing at how easy it is and how our president, unfortunately, is helping with their agenda.
We're also hearing reports that Donald Trump is asking world leaders to call him on a cell phone. There's obviously security concerns with that.
Despite the constant negative press, Kov Fefe.
It's down now, if you can believe it, but it was up for, what, a good 6 hours,
so he actually
hours?
Posted at midnight.
What, did he fall asleep?
I think he fell asleep in the middle of it.
Pajamas?
It happened.
Could have been worse, pajamas. Right?
I have decided to launch the mother of the...
Right.
Yeah.
We hear talk, oh, all the tweets are going to start being vetted by legal counsel.
Right.
That is clearly not happening.
Well, unless he has a lawyer in his bed at 12:04 at night.
Despite the constant negative press, Kov Fefe.
Something like that can stay on Twitter for 6 hours. What does that say about who controls the information coming out of the White House? And what if somebody hacked into Twitter and posted a message that could have global implications?
Hunter.
Thank you, Sean. Do you think people should be concerned that the president posted somewhat of an incoherent tweet last night and that it then stayed up for hours?
No.
Why did it stay up so long? Is no one watching this?
No, I think the president and a small group of people know exactly what he meant. Blake.
Blake.
What does he mean?
Blake.
What is
Blake.
Blake.
You
say either. I say either. You say neither. And I say neither. Either, either, and either, neither. Let's call the whole thing off.
In 2010, Saudi Arabia was looking to buy arms from the United States. In order to get the approval, Clinton's State Department had to sign off, and they couldn't get it. So what happened? What did Saudi Arabia do? They paid Bill Clinton a fortune to do a speech. Later that year, Clinton's State Department signed off on arms deals between the United States and Saudi Arabia. Shocking. Shocking. Criminal enterprise. Saudi Arabia giving $25 million. Qatar. All of these countries. You talk about women and women's rights? So, these are people that push gays off business, off buildings. These are people that kill women.
And treat women horribly.
And yet, you take their money. So I'd like to ask you right now, why don't you give back the money that you've taken from certain countries that treat certain groups of people so horribly? Why don't you give back the money? I think it would be a great gesture.
And we're looking here as you see the King of Saudi Arabia and you see President Trump sitting down there. They're being handed the documents. Now, of course, we can't see them specifically ourselves, but we believe that this is the $110 billion arms deal that the Trump administration has been talking about even before President Trump landed in Saudi Arabia. It certainly adds up in a lot of dollars. There is some question as to what the offsets are, and when it comes to the manufacture of some of this hardware, will it be Americans that benefit from it, or will it be Saudis? Because part of the deal, apparently, at least when it comes to helicopters, they will be manufacturing them in Saudi Arabia, which would mean those jobs are not going to be in the U.S.
There's just very much a sense here that this is a guy who understands us. This is a guy that we can do business with. This is somebody that, you know, has said all the right things when it comes to things that we care about, which are fighting, you know, terrorist organizations and specifically with confronting Iran.
Ben, let's talk a little more about business. Can you tell me about that $110 billion weapons deal that was struck today?
Yeah, and it could end up being, I think, $350 billion over the next 10 years. They're going to build a number of high-tech helicopters here in the kingdom and other deals that are expected to come through tomorrow, dealing with oil and technology and various other industries.
There, you know, the Crown Prince of Abu Dhabi effectively snuck into New York around the mid-December 2016, about, you know, shortly after this, about 10 days after this this meeting with Kislyak. And that was also very much under the radar, wasn't announced. In fact, the U.S. officials only found out about the Crown Prince of Abu Dhabi coming to New York because his name appeared on the flight manifest.
Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates have pledged a combined $100 million to the Women's Entrepreneurs Fund, the brainchild of Ivanka Trump.
That should be a big story.
You say laughter and I say laughter. You say after and I say after. Laughter, laughter, after, after. Let's call the whole thing off.
We are expecting to hear from FBI Director James Comey potentially next week that he has been, quote, cleared for takeoff by Robert Mueller, according to a source close to Comey. NBC News is reporting that.
Despite the constant negative press, Kov Fefe.
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.